episode of Ellie Speaks, we're going to talk about what is intermittent fasting. We're going to go over what your body goes through fasting, as well as the different schedules or protocols, and who shouldn't fast. First things first. Intermittent fasting is not a diet. Intermittent fasting is an umbrella term for fasting protocols that people follow. Cycle between periods where you fast and when you eat. So they say your fasted state and your fed state. So that's the first thing that we need to cover, because a lot of people say, oh, you're on the new diet, on the new diet. No, intermittent fasting is not a diet. It's just a protocol of cycling when you eat and when you don't eat. So you basically spend some time not eating. There are different schedules for intermittent fasting, but I would like to go over first what your body goes through and all the different benefits that it has, and it has been shown in different research. As a disclaimer, I want to say that I am not a doctor, and please, please always consult your doctor before starting any diet or any exercise plan or anything that you want to change with your routine, especially with food and if you're taking medication. So please bear in mind that I am just giving you what I've learned throughout my experience with intermittent fasting and what I've read. And yeah, all of these things can be found online on Google. Google's your best friend. Don't hate me for saying that, but it's true. Everything is in Google. And yeah, I just want to share this information with my friends and let them know all the wonders that are out there waiting. So now that we got the disclaimer out of the way, we can move forward to the states where that your body goes through when fasting and all the different benefits. So there's this thing called autophagy. And in 2016, Yoshinori Ozumi was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize of Medicine for discovering the mechanisms of autophagy. So 12 to 16 hours into your fast, you go into autophagy, which means that your cells start to renew. It is a recycling process that your body goes through, and it is meant to do that to renew all the old cells, all the oxidative cells and inflamed cells, and just renew it with new baby cells that are gonna make you feel like a baby, basically. So it is a built-in mechanism in your body. So this is knowledge that your body already has to get rid of all those old cells, all the cancer cells. So it's been shown to be to help against cancer, to, you know, help fat burning, to lower insulin. And also, it gets rid of DNA damage and as well as inflammation. So all this autophagy starts moving everything in your body and just renewing your cells. So the thing about autophagy is that it also boosts something called mitophagy. So yes, we are in biology class today. In case you didn't go to biology class that day, mitophagy means that you're increasing your mitochondria in your body. So increasing your mitochondria. What is mitochondria? Professor Ellie. So the mitochondria is the cell where we process either glucose or ketones as energy. So the mitochondria is where we process energy. It's something that we all have, obviously. If we have more mitochondria, then we have more energy. So autophagy stimulates more mitochondria and stimulates mitophagy. So it is very scientific what I'm saying, but not really. It is part of your life, you know, the mitochondria. And it is very also important to note, because once you understand the mechanisms then you can also understand why it does what it does in your body and why it has so many benefits. So think about it this way. In your mitochondria, there's this thing called the Krebs cycle. So the Krebs cycle is all these things that, like, the steps that the mitochondria takes to process all that, let's say, glucose into energy, which is called ATP. I was like, ATP, ATP. Okay, so you're going to generate all that ATP from the mitochondria, which is energy. So the Krebs cycle for the glucose is actually longer than for ketones. So we'll talk about ketones now, but for glucose, it takes 11 steps for the Krebs cycle to process your glucose. And this is in things like sugar, you know? When we are in a fasted state, we are actually in autophagy, we actually go into ketosis. So the important thing about ketosis and ketogenic and ketones is that once we already depleted all of our glucose that we ate that day, then our body's going to tell us, we're hungry. When we don't give it food, then your body takes from your fat storage, and that fat storage is called a ketone. So going back to the Krebs cycle, I don't know if you're following me here, but going back to the Krebs cycle, the ketones only take 3 steps in the Krebs cycle in your mitochondria. This means that the energy that you get from ketones is better, it's cleaner, is you get it faster. So you have a lot more energy when you are using ketones as fuel. So this is just one of the things that it does. As I mentioned before, it takes care of inflammation, but autophagy basically makes you have more energy because of all of the sciencey stuff that I just explained and that I hope that you got. So another thing that autophagy promotes is the human growth hormone. So the human growth hormone actually gets promoted by up to 2,000%. And this is backed up by research. So the human growth hormone is called the anti-aging hormone. So no, that doesn't mean that you're just gonna magically become 16 years old on the next day that you start intermittent fasting, right? But what it does mean is that it promotes muscle growth, it promotes fat loss, it promotes more collagen in your joints, in your skin, in your nails. The human growth hormone also reduces inflammation, it improves your bone density, and it stimulates just fat burning, ultimate fat burning. So one of the things that also increases human growth hormone is exercise. So exercise actually increases your human growth hormone. So, but it doesn't increase it up to 2,000%. But imagine if you could get those same benefits from exercising throughout the whole day or throughout 16 hours that you're fasting or 14 hours that you're fasting. So just imagine the possibilities. You might end up looking like a 15-year-old. Well, maybe you don't want to look 15, but you know what I mean. You look young and pretty and beautiful. So that's one of the other things, the human growth hormone. People get this stuff, like, injected. They actually go to places where they get injected and, I don't know, they take tablets and drops and I don't know. God knows what else there is. I don't know. With human growth hormone. But if they know that they can actually create up to 2,000% more human growth hormone just by themselves, just by not eating for a while, then I think that they will really give intermittent fasting a try because, you know, who doesn't want more anti-aging hormone? Anti-aging industry is millions of dollars, and who knew that you can just stop eating for a little bit and do try intermittent fasting, maybe. So another thing that autophagy promotes is the reduction of insulin resistance. So when you're insulin resistant, that means that your insulin is not effective enough. your insulin is not effective, so they have to inject more insulin, and that just creates like and then the more insulin you have, the more fat that you have. So it creates like a vicious cycle. When you're getting injected more insulin, you're gaining weight, but then you're not getting the nutrients that you need. And the reason why you don't get the nutrients that you need is because insulin is a carrier of nutrients. So if you're insulin resistant, that means that you cannot carry, that your insulin cannot carry those nutrients throughout your body, and that your pancreas is overloaded with sugar. And the reason why it can't just move those nutrients throughout your body is because you are inflamed. The pathway for the insulin to go through are inflamed. So that's one of the reasons why people become insulin resistant. So what does that, how does that help with autophagy? So autophagy basically helps you lower the insulin and make you become more insulin sensitive. And that means that you're sensitive for that. Your insulin is sensitive to carry those nutrients to your pathways, because your pathways are no longer inflamed. Because autophagy, as I said, promotes anti-inflammation. So if you don't believe me that it can lower insulin, then I really want you to check out Dr. Jason Fung, because he has so many books and podcasts and videos out there about how intermittent fasting has helped reverse type 2 diabetes. He has actually worked with people who reverse type 2 diabetes for the first time. So Dr. Jason Fung, he's amazing. Go check him out. Go buy his book. Go listen to his podcast, or the podcast where he's been, because I don't know if he has one. But, you know, just go check him out. It's if you're really interested in knowing more about this, he's the person to really listen to, because he has a lot of knowledge and it could benefit people. So I also want to mention that there's a movie out there, or a documentary. It's called Fasting, the Full Movie Documentary by Doug Urquhart. And in that documentary, they show research, they show different people, the different types of fasting, because intermittent fasting is not just fasting, it's a type of fasting. There's long-term fasting, there's religious fasting. So there's all these different types of fasting out there, or like detox or cleanses, you know, it's always different. Intermittent fasting is not the same thing. So that's why I want to really cover all of this with you guys, so you can get a more in-depth understanding on if you want to try it or what it really does and what it is. So next up, we're going to talk about inflammation throughout the body, because inflammation is something that causes chronic diseases. If any part of your body or your organs are inflamed, then you are in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why. Inflammation in the brain causes things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's disease. And this is because inflammation has been linked to low amounts of BDNF, which is a brain-derived neurotrophic factor. When you go through autophagy, not only does this protein increases, but also neurogenesis, meaning that you're making new connections all throughout your brain. So having more BDNF and more connections means that your brain is less inflamed and less prone to things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington's, strokes, or you can even heal better from strokes when you have a lot of BDNF. So moving on for thyroid. When your thyroid is inflamed, it disrupts the thyroid hormone function. So all your thyroids are whack and you're not functioning well. So that means that you might even gain weight and have all these horrible things going on because of your thyroid hormone function is not proper. For your cardiovascular inflammation, so that's inflammation in the heart, it can cause heart disease, strokes, high blood pressure or diabetes, and anemia. All these things can be caused by inflammation in your heart. Inflammations in the muscle can lead to carpal tunnel, muscle pain, and muscle weakness. You have inflammation in the bones, where it doesn't let you repair bone mass, so it can cause things like arthritis. Inflammation in your skin causes rashes, dermatitis, psoriasis, eczema, even wrinkles and fine lines. And working in the beauty industry, wrinkles and fine lines are always related to oxidation. So if you don't give enough time for your body to get rid of those, that oxidative stress throughout, then that becomes rashes and sunspots and age spots and wrinkles and all this stuff. So going back to the anti-aging hormone, now you know, less inflammation means you looking younger and more supple. For your lungs, when your lungs are inflamed, you get asthma and you get allergies. For your gastrointestinal tract or your GI tract, when your gastrointestinal tract is inflamed, it can cause things like Crohn's disease, which is important to note. I know I say that a lot, but I have a friend that I follow on Instagram. Well, he's my Instagram friend. His name is Danny Page. He's a Crohn's disease survivor, and I really want you guys to go follow him and see his story, because it is absolutely amazing. He has an incredible body. He has people that he works with. He's a personal trainer, I believe. And he also has this group where people do the intermittent fasting. Check him out. His Instagram is @Danny_Page_, and that's @DANN_PAGE_. If you really want to give it a try, and you want to have some support, he is the perfect person to try intermittent fasting with. For your kidney, when your kidney is inflamed, it can cause hypertension, edema, and kidney failure. For your liver, when your liver is inflamed, it causes fatty liver, it causes an enlarged liver, meaning that it has a toxic load. Your liver has a toxic load. All of these things are due to inflammation throughout the body. So yeah, it is crazy when you look at all of those bad things that can happen just by one thing, right? So next up, we're going to look at the different protocols for fasting, or we're going to hear about, because you're not really looking at anything, are you? So I'm going to tell you more about the different protocols. The most popular ones? Yeah, because people take intermittent fasting and they really just make it their own, you know? It's just basically what goes with your routine. A lot of people ask me, oh, what hours should I do? What hours should I do? It really just depends on your life, because you really want to make this into a routine and something that you can follow easily, and you just go with the flow. So it depends on everybody, but I'm gonna go over the different protocols that exist, and then they're out there, so that you can better situate your position and see what works best for you. So now, for the time that everybody's been waiting for, we're gonna talk about the protocols, or schedules, or time, or time windows. Whatever you want to call it, we're going to talk about that. And I know everybody's been waiting, because everybody always asks me, when should I eat? When should I do it? When should you do this? When should you do that? So, just want to, first, don't take it so seriously, in the sense that don't obsess about it, you know? See what works best for you, for your routine. If you work at night, you might have to eat at night. If you worked in, you know what I mean? So depending on your routine, you have to work this into your routine however you can. If you can only do 2 days of fasting per week, you only do 2 days, and the rest of the days, you're fine. But we're going to go over that right now. The first method that I want to go over, and I'm sorry, that was like a first. The first method, it's the lean gains method. And that's actually what I do, what I started doing. It's called the 16-8 method. So basically, you fast for 16 hours and you eat for during 8 hours. So I usually eat two big meals during those 8 hours, but I know, I mean, you can eat whatever, whenever you want during the 8 hours because it's your feeding window. So it doesn't matter if you get hungry, you just eat a little bit and you're good. So that's the first one. It's one of the most popular and how people basically for beginners. Another thing, another protocol is the 5-2. So it's called, I know there was a book called 5-2 Diet, but you know, since I already said intermittent fasting is not a diet per se, like you don't have to eat a certain amount of food. But there is a book called 5-2 Diet, and it basically it talks about how you can eat for 5 days, eat normally, and then on 2 days you only eat 500 calories for women and 600 calories for men. On those 2 days, you only eat those amounts of calories. And a lot of people debate about what to eat. And obviously, I mean, you're not gonna eat like a bag of chips, and that's it. No, like you'll eat like something filling or like soup or something that's more nutritious for you during that day, so you avoid, I guess, headaches and stuff like that. But yeah, there's the next protocol. It's called eat, stop, eat. So you do 24-hour fast just once or twice a week. It is not set, so you can even do it once or twice. Once or twice a week. It's not very set. It's flexible. The next one is the alternative day fasting. And actually, Dr. Jason Fung talks a lot about that in his research and with his patients. So, must be good. I don't know. So, that basically means that one day you eat and one day you fast. One day you eat and one day you fast. That sounds very extreme. When I first heard it, I was like, one day I eat, one day I fast. Oh my God. Like, what the hell? I'm not gonna eat. Like, oh my God. No. That overwhelmed me. I was like, no, that's not for me. But it might be for you. Who knows? There's also the warrior diet, which is very particular. So you fast during the day and you eat a huge meal at night, and you only have 4 hours to eat that meal. So during those 4 hours, whatever the heck you can muster to put in your mouth and in your stomach, you can get it. So that's the warrior diet. There's one that's similar. It's called the OMAD. So it's one meal a day. And the one meal a day is you basically fast for 24 hours and you only have 1 hour to eat that huge meal of all thousands of calories that you're supposed to have in that whole day. You're only going to have it in one sitting in one go. And lastly, but not lastly, because there's probably other methods, but these are all I know, really. So, lastly, you can just skip a meal once in a while, you know? Just skip it here and there, and you'll see some benefits from it. If you consistently, like, skip some meals here and there, then you're giving enough time to your body to recover, going through autophagy, and get all those benefits. So yeah, those were the protocols. That was pretty quick, right? And I also want to talk about the food because a lot of people ask also what you should be eating when doing intermittent fasting. So when they did the research, and I want you guys to note this, they did the research with a supersize me diet, like a diet in high calorie fats and all this horrible junk food, but on mice, right? So there was a group of mice that ate all those fats and the supersize me diet all the time, ad libitum. All the time they would eat and eat and eat. And then there were another set of mice that they only were fed in a time restricted window. So I think they were only fed during 8 hours. And then the rest of the time they didn't have the food. Obviously, they were fasting. And they found out that the mice who ate all the time actually got fat, and they got diseases that are linked to obesity, like heart disease and strokes and everything. And they're even saying that Alzheimer's is linked to that, or you know, because you're using so much sugar. Anyway, so all these mice gather all of these horrible diseases that come from obesity, and they got fat. The other mice that ate the same way, but only in a time-restricted window, they stayed lean. The mice stayed lean with the same diet. So what I just want to go over this is that maybe you can maintain, if you just eat normally, eat whatever, not whatever you want, but, you know, don't go and eat like 7,000 calories. I don't know. I mean, I would never tell somebody to eat that much, but in this research, you know, that's what it shows, that in those 8 hours where the mice were eating all this food high in fat and they stayed lean, then I don't know what to tell you, you know, at this point, I don't even know. But of course, I did follow something myself, so I can only talk about experience. I did not follow that supersized me diet for losing weight. I just think, I don't know, for me, it's like, this is ridiculous. But for me, it's like, what? But I mean, it's research. So who knows? I haven't put it to the test. Maybe when I get to my weight where I want to maintain, I'll probably go overboard and eat a lot and see what that does while doing intermittent fasting. But right now, I'm still low carb. So for me, I lowered everything, all my food, like all the carbs, the pasta, the rice, potatoes. So basically all carbs I cut out, but I still have a little carbs here and there, like quinoa. But, you know, I try not to go overboard. I really don't measure anything. I just really try to do low in carbs, you know. So I eat a lot of salad, but different types of salad and really yummy salads. I also add bacon on it and sometimes cheese. So I have big meals because I only eat twice a day. I eat like 800 calories per meal. So they're big meals. They're filling, even though they're mainly vegetables, but I also put protein in there. So that's my food. Some people like to mix the ketogenic diet with fasting, because basically fasting is a hack for ketogenic diet, or the other way around. Either way, they're both hacks for each other because you're going into ketosis with both things. So with fasting, you're going to ketosis. With ketogenic diet, you're going to ketosis. So yeah, people like to mix those two for maximum fat burning. But I honestly, please don't start intermittent fasting if you haven't made a change in your life where you want to become healthier and you can do it. Because if you don't have that mindset, then it doesn't matter what you think you're going to eat or do. It's going to be really hard, and it will be easier for you if you took it one step at a time. So if you want to do it like me, low carb, then I suggest you do it like I did, where I just first went low carb. So I started cutting all the sugars and all the juices and basically all sugars and all carbs. I started cutting that little by little. And once I was used to that, then I started intermittent fasting. So that's what I would suggest that you do it, that you slowly get into it. And if you start it and you're not used to it, then I suggest you start with 12 hours per day. Let's say you're going to do the 16-8 method, the lean gains, which is the most popular. Then I suggest you start with 12 hours and then work your way to 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and so on. So that is just my two cents. Like I said, I'm not a doctor, but I can talk from experience of, you know, what I think. And going from there, we're going to go into a very important part of this podcast, is who can't fast and who should fast under medical supervision. And yeah. So if you're not in these categories, then you shouldn't have any problem fasting. So if you're not in these categories, go crazy. So who can't fast? Pregnant women can't fast. They cannot. Children, you cannot fast children. If you have a child and they're chubby and you want to make them fast or do intermittent fasting, don't. If you had an eating disorder or if you're underweight, don't fast, please. Because no. Because you're already underweight and intermittent fasting can be triggering for people with eating disorders, especially, I mean, any eating disorder, but if you have like binge eating disorder, then if you don't eat for a while, you might just, when you come back from the fast, when you're in the fed state, you might just want to devour everything and just take everything. But if you have that kind of disorder. But to be honest, intermittent fasting lowers your appetite. Once you get used to it, though, at the beginning, no. But once you get used to your new time window where you can eat, your feeding window, once you're used to that, then it becomes easier. But for anybody who has an eating disorder, you should really work on your eating disorder and maybe in your addiction to food before you start doing something like intermittent fasting, who can hurt you in the long run. So if you're chronically stressed, intermittent fasting might not be good for you, because intermittent fasting gives you gives more stress to your brain and your body just because you're not eating. This is not bad, but if you're too stressed all the time, it might not be good. If you're new to diet and exercise, intermittent fasting might not be the best, because it can become very overwhelming. So if just first try to get on, it's all about the mindset, guys. Try to first get on the mindset, because no matter what you do, intermittent fasting, whatever it is that you do or that you work in your life or whatever diet that you want to do, if you don't have the mindset, then you will fall. So first work on that. And just going over everything, we know now that autophagy promotes less inflammation in the body, which promotes a healthier lifestyle, which promotes longevity. So this is just what I want to get across to you guys, all these benefits and all these findings. And it's from me to you, as a friend, as a loved one, or whoever you are that is listening. Know that you're worth it, that you're worth taking care of yourself. And if you fall, which you will, you just get up and go again. If you're doing the intermittent fasting now, and one of the days you went over 1, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, it's okay. Just start on the next day, okay? Be patient, because it took a while. Let's say if you're losing weight, it took a while for you to pile on the weight. It's gonna take a while for you to get it off. And it might even be faster than when you put it in. So just let the process take you. Let the process of life take you. If you can take anything out of this podcast, you know, it's just that to love yourself. And whatever journey you're going to start, please, please make sure that you love yourself first. And you remind yourself that you're beautiful every day. And this sounds so cliche. It does. But it's true. You have to. You're the only one who can love yourself, because that's it. You have to live with yourself every day. Every day, every second of the day, you have to live with yourself. And why are you going to live in misery, hating yourself and saying horrible things about yourself? So nothing's ever going to change in your life if you don't change that, if you don't change your mindset, your positivity, and know that you're worth it and that you're beautiful and you can be strong and you're going to be at the goal weight or not, or your goal sight. You're going to look amazing. But you have to believe in yourself first and know that you can be that beautiful and that you can be that strong and that you can achieve anything, which you already are. So if you want to have more episodes about intermittent fasting or whatever it is, then please follow and subscribe this podcast. You can always send me a message on Instagram. My Instagram is Ellie_IF for intermittent fasting. So it's at @ellie_if. That's at @ELLIE_IF. And you can send me a message. Shoot me any questions that you have from this podcast. If there's something that wasn't clear to you, because I know that I ramble a lot and I have an accent, so I might not have explained some things very well. So just feel free to send me a message and chat with me, because I don't have any friends. No, I'm just kidding, I do. But you can be my friend too. So thank you so much for listening. I really enjoyed making this episode, although this is my third time making it, because somehow I messed up the first two times. So third time's a charm. And here we have it, the third episode of Ellie Speaks. I hope you can join me on the next one.